unwanted notices. That's what we like in Silly Life. Just as you know, we're doing a bit of a competition for our decorations in the church, and my family are in down the corner there. And then old Marion comes along and does the stage, you know, which looks pretty choice. But Marion did say this morning that if our decorations get knocked down, that it is a competition. No, she didn't. I said that. So there's no spirit of competition here, but low-key there is. This morning we're looking at Advent, and as Bronwyn in her cyber message said, and many of us come into Christmas feeling excited. Many of us dread Christmas, maybe. Maybe Christmas is full of sorrow and joy, whatever emotion, maybe it's a bit of both. But we want to look at Advent this year with a sense of reverence, because this whole coming of Christ was told in the prophets for centuries before. And today we're gonna be looking at the people that were pulled into the Advent story. It's a whole bunch of people that were kind of minding their own business and get pulled in. Apart from the Magos, the Magi came from the east. They were in search of the Savior, and who knows how long they traveled for, who knows when that travel started, but they were looking for the Savior. These Gentiles, these pagan people had come to worship Jesus. And this morning, I'm going to talk about Mary. But before I do that, last week I talked on the last of our values, which is manaakitanga, which is choosing generosity. And I put out to the church that, hey, there's a family that I know, just financially it's been a struggle for them, and just said, hey, could we as a church bless them? Let's activate generosity. So I just want to let you know that we gave over $1,100 to this family last week, and they were blown away. They just couldn't believe it. And actually, there's more money coming in. They don't know yet. But it was just beautiful for me to be Santa Claus, you know, not quite Santa, but to say, hey, guys, the church has blessed you. So it's a great encouragement to know that the church steps up when there's a need, and I really appreciate that. But as we know, or just many of you will know, that finances within the church have been tight in the last little while, and this is not to put down anyone at all, please, hear my heart. A lot of people give generously and sacrificially to this church for their time, money, prayer. I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is that over the last few years, our finances have been going down, and it's an opportunity for us to show generosity to the house. We show generosity to Mission Field, to others in our community. I would encourage that if you aren't giving to the church financially, I would want to encourage you that you do so. And I say that with humility and care, but just to let you know that that's kind of where we're at. So enough of money. Let's talk about Mary. This is Keisha Castle Hughes. She was in the Nativity, the movie. She was cast to play Mary. And it's interesting, a few Māori people, there's a guy called Cliff Curtis, who's a famous New Zealand actor. He gets cast as Middle East characters a lot because of the way he looks. Keisha Castle Hughes was cast to be a Jewish teenager. And we know a few things about Mary, but she's a nobody, pretty much, who becomes very much a somebody by the grace of God. This beautiful, humble girl, mid-teens, from probably quite a poor background. Nazareth, the town where she comes from, is a very poor town. It didn't have much. And an angel comes and speaks to her. So I'm going to focus on Mary today. And the whole point of looking at these characters around Advent is to look at how the different people are pulled into the Christmas story and what they can speak to us, okay? So what we could do is we could look at Mary, and one thing that we could look at in her character is her adventurous spirit. So we know in the Gospel of Luke that Mary, when she gets the news from the angel, that she takes off from Nazareth in a hurry, and see this white line, you can see there's this white line here where she travels from Nazareth to the hill country of Judea to go hang out with her cousin, to go hang out with Elizabeth, who is carrying the Apostle John, the Prophet John, John the Baptist. And so just to give you a bit of perspective, from Nazareth, you know, people don't travel through Samaria because they hate the Samaritans. So they literally go right around the region, and rather than going straight through, which would be way quicker, they go around down the other side of the River Jordan to get to the south of Israel. It's about 120 kilometers, give or take. We're talking about here to Waverley, roughly. So here's this pregnant teenage girl. What does she do? She takes off to go to hang out with Elizabeth. It's quite remarkable that she travel with other people, that she travel on her own. We're talking about a five-day journey. This teenage girl who's pregnant with the Savior of the world, and she's on this hikoi. She's amazing. And she spent 6 months there. So we could talk about that. But this morning I want to talk about Mary's response to God's call. And what that teaches us. I want to focus on that this morning. So if you've got your Bibles, you can open up to Luke, or you can read on the virtual Bible on the TV right here, and I'm going to read it to you. This is Luke chapter 1 or 2. And here we go. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May a word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. That is a remarkable response. I mean, can you imagine being a teenager? I mean, teenagers, you know, get a rough time from us oldies. But a teenager is called to carry the hope of the world. Can you imagine a teenager? Maybe you have a teenage daughter, or I've got a 10-year-old girl. And God calling Ruby, my girl, to carry in her womb. Man, that's tough. Now, potentially what Mary is saying to this potentially is that she's going to be ostracized from her community. Potentially, what Mary is saying is that she could be stoned by her community to be having a child out of wedlock. It's a big call. Now, there's a lot of speculation around that, but Jewish law and the Torah would say that, you know, but what did Mary's mum and dad say about this? Where are they in the story? Can you imagine? It's probably scandalous in some way, but it's God's plan. It's almost like God breaking his own rules. Yeah? But Mary's response, "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. I want to look at some other responses to God's call. All right? Let's look at some other notable ones. So this handsome man is Zechariah. A few verses earlier, he's in the temple, right? And has a visitation from God. How many times does an angel or God have to say, "Do not be afraid"? Every time God shows up or an angel turns up, it's so beautiful and so holy and glorious, it's terrifying. Every time. It's like, oh, there's an angel. It's like, there's an angel, I'm going to die, pretty much. That's how glorious God's glory is. So let's just listen to this call and promise that the angel said to Zechariah. "Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. He will be great in the sight of the Lord." That's Luke 1:13-15. How does Zechariah respond? How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. Okay? Angel of the Lord is God's servant, messenger, is going to tell you something, and then he's kind of doubting God himself. Not a great response. How about we look at another one? Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1, verse 4 to 7. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah, before he was born, God called him to be a prophet. And what does Jeremiah say? Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. Great response, Jeremiah, to God himself. Let's look at Gideon, Judges chapter 6. You're kind of getting the point. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. God is saying, you are a mighty warrior. Pardon me, Gideon replied. How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. Great call. Even though God is calling you, you are questioning the Almighty. Moses, how about we look at Moses? So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. How did Moses respond? Pardon your Lord's servant. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Great response, Moses, to the Lord. Can you see a pattern here? God calling people, ordinary people, super ordinary, to be just way above who they are in this moment. And the response isn't, yes, Lord. It's, what? No. It's basically no. We could look at Jonah. Hey, Jonah. Great Jonah. Finds himself in a fish. Hey, funny story. Because God told him to go one way, but he went the other way. He did in the end. I mean, Abraham was amazing. God says this to Abraham, who is a moon worshipper. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I show you. And it says in verse 4, Genesis 12, so Abraham went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he was set out from Haran. You know, apart from Abraham and a few others, a response to God's call is not great. It's not great. But I think we can all find ourselves in that, can't we? I hope so. Or no, you guys are so faithful and full of faith in God that you'd never doubt God, would you? And Abraham, one of Paul's favorite verses that he uses in his script, in his writings, in the epistles, he says, Abraham believed the Lord and credited to him as righteousness, Genesis 15:6. Now, doubt is part of the faith journey, but doubt can't be the marker of responding to God's call. It can't be the thing that fully holds us. Doubt can't be. It has to be turned into faith. Doubt is part of it. John the Apostle, this great man of God, is filled with the Holy Spirit, even when he's in the womb. He sees Jesus coming from afar and says, look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He knows who Jesus is. A few verses later, a few chapters later, what's he saying? He sends some of his disciples to Jesus, and they're saying, John just wanted us to come to you and say, are you the Messiah, or should we be expecting someone else? John, come on, Hone. Bro, you're making these great claims 5 minutes ago, and now you're doubting. Doubt is part of our journey. It is part of for all of us, but doubt that becomes despair is not useful, but doubt that's turned into faith is. And at the end of the day, how we respond to the call of God is really up to us. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, this is probably the most vulnerable moment of Jesus' life, apart from his death on the cross, for sure. But we get a picture of what it's like for Jesus, the sent one, knowing that he knows for a long time that he's going to suffer, and yet he's in the garden moments before he's captured, and he's struggling with this reality that he's called to die for the sins of the world. And what does he say? We know this beautiful verse in Luke 22:42. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. It's a beautiful response, but he was struggling. He turns his doubt into faith. So we are all called by God. Every one of us here, I believe every person in the world that has ever lived is called by God. Now, there would be other lines of theology and the church that would say only some are called. I've got big problems with that. I think God is after everybody. C.S. Lewis called the Holy Spirit the hound of heaven. That God is, somehow, God is after everyone. But how we respond, how do we respond to the call of God? How? This beautiful young girl is face to face with a Gabriel who apparently he appeared to Daniel back in the day as well. Gabriel's no mug of an angel. He is like top dog angel. And here's Mary, and how I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. That's the NIV version. The NLT says, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Wow. Her response is beautiful. Not, I'm too young. Not, I'm too weak. Not, I don't have the right attributes. Nor does she say, find someone else. Unlike all those other prophets I spoke to you about, right? May your words be fulfilled. When I was about 26, mid-20s, and before my wife Sarah and I think we were together. Sarah thought I was pretty awesome for a long, long time, but that's another story. She'll tell you that's a true story. But when I was about 26, there was a prophet called Greg Burson. Many of you may know him. And Greg, I was at a meeting at our rancho in Waikanae, and he had a word for me. And he says, Ben, these were his words, Ben, you may be a young man now, but God sees you as an amazing father in the making. Wow, it was a big call. And my dream was to have kids, but I knew that when Greg said that, it was more than biological children. I knew it was about shepherding. But I wasn't anywhere near that. I had a love for the church, part of church and all that kind of stuff. And Chris Lee was there, and as Greg gave me that word and prayed, and we had a time of ministry, Chris grabbed my arm and literally dragged me over to a guy called Paul Newbold and prayed for him. He wanted me to pray a fatherly prayer over Paul. Paul, who's older than me. Paul, who was, you know, a great leader and a son of this church. And he wanted me to pray a fatherly prayer because Chris was saying, come on then, boy, let's activate this action. Let's get amongst us right now. Now, you have to understand about me, I am the youngest in my family, right? That's not necessarily a bad thing, of course, but, you know, when you're the youngest, growing up for me was really hard because I had it sweet. Everyone did everything for me. I got the best presents at Christmas. I got more pocket money than my sister. I had it sweet. That's how it is. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, growing up for me was hard. And I don't blame my mum and dad for that. That's not what I'm saying. But there was something of, I had to work really hard about becoming an adult. I have had I've battled low self-esteem most of my life. Low confidence. It may seem to you that I have high confidence, maybe, and at times I do. A lot of the time, even now, I have to battle that, have to fight that. In my Gallup Strengths Finder, Gallup is an organization in America, and they say that people have 34 strengths. 34? And what number 22 out of 34 is self-assurance. That's not high on my list of strengths. And yet, here's this word, God is calling me to be a father. But thank God, I am not the last word of my life. thank God that none of us here is the last word to any of your lives. God is the last word and the final word, the best word over any one of you, over any one of us. But your call is, will be different to mine. That is the thing. Being a pastor is awesome. That's my call. But maybe your call is different and great. I've got a friend in, who lives out of town. Him and his wife felt called to start a business. You know, I admire anyone that goes into business because it takes courage, it takes faith, and they believe that God had called them to start a business. But they've had some really tough times, really hard. COVID, all sorts of things. They love God, and they've had to work through that. And I've asked him about this, but he says, no, God has still called us to be business people. That's the call on their lives, is to be business people. God hasn't spoken otherwise to give it up, that'll remain in that even though it's hard. The one thing I want you to get through, if you remember anything about I say this morning, is that you are called. Every single one of you. It's not like God missed. Oh, Terry, oh, God. Oh, sorry. God forgot about you, Terry. No, it's not about that. God calls everybody. If he knows you're here, your name, when you were born, when you rise, when you sit down, God calls you, every single one of us. And the way that God calls you, it will be different to every one of us. It's not like when Moses has this massive call, you know, in Midian somewhere, and he says a burning bush. It's not like God, Moses says, God, find someone else. And he gives all these excuses to God and says, find someone else. I can't speak very well. It's not like God says, oh yeah, Moses, you are useless. I will go find someone else. Hey, where does God say that? Because he doesn't. Because God says something on Moses that Moses can't see himself. That's the point of God's call on each and every one of us, on our children. I believe stuff from my kids. I see stuff from my kids all the time, but they don't see it yet, but hopefully they will. That's my role as a parent, to help them to find the godness in them, because I can see it already. You are called to love God and love neighbor. I've written here that that's like the universal thing of humanity. God calls us all to love him and to love our neighbor. It's the most important commands that we're given in scripture, to love God and love neighbor. And we are called to the specifics of how God sees each and every one of us. Whether it's for ministry within the church, just to be, maybe your ministry is to your whānau. Maybe your ministry is business, school, social, whatever. God calls you, but how do you respond to the call of God? That's the thing. You know, we've talked about repentance, and that when Jesus says, repent, the time has come, repent and believe the good news. Repentance is an all of life thing, because we are constantly orientating our lives to God, because we know that over the journey that God keeps calling us into deeper maturity and relationship with him. And our call changes over time for sure. Some seasons we're to do this, and other seasons we're to do that. But it's still the same. God calls us, and we're to trust him in every asset and sphere of our lives. So what I want to do this morning is I want to pray over everyone's call here. Because I think that Holy Spirit, I think that God wants to do some work on how you see yourself and how you respond to God's call. I'd hope that we would all have a bit more of a spirit of Mary. May your words to me be fulfilled. Beautiful. And I just want you to close your eyes, and I'm going to ask some of you to respond. If you feel that no compulsion, but I want you to respond in some way to God this morning. I want to leave this little verse for you. I'll finish with scripture, then I'll pray. 2 Timothy 1:9. God has called us, he has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. God has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. I just want you to sit for a moment. I just want you to sit in response to God. You might want to, if you feel confident, just to open your hands. Just open your heart to God. And And as you open your hands to God, it's just a fresh sense of responding to God's call again today, to his purposes, to fulfill the things that he has created you to do. There's no one else like you. Do you understand that? When God calls people, he doesn't make a mistake. God sees something beyond possibly who you are right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, you have called us by your own purpose and grace, not because of our cleverness or what we have done. You've called us because that is your heart to have us. And you've done everything through your Son to have us. I wrote some notes down last night, and if this is for any one of you, I'm finished very shortly, but I just want you to respond to God. If this is for any one of you, please, I'd love for you to stand where you are as a response to God's call. Maybe you know God's call and need strength and resilience to carry on. Maybe God has called you to something quite large and significant, yet you just need more of God's grace too, and the way that he sees things to help you. And if that's you, I'd love you to stand. Maybe there are those of you here, I wrote this down last night, those who struggle to obey God's call. Maybe you're being disobedient to God's call. Maybe you don't want to respond to God's call. And if that's you, why don't you just be honest about that? There's no fear or shame. There's no guilt or shame. It's not about that, but an act of repentance to respond and be obedient to God's call. I want you to stand. Maybe you don't think you're worth it. Maybe you think, who am I? And if that's you, I want you to stand. Maybe you just don't think you're worthy of God's call. Or you just don't think that you have a call in your life. I want you to stand. Holy Spirit, for those who are standing, I pray, Holy Spirit, you just fill and come and minister to our friends here. God, you do the good work. I pray, Father, that there'd be a fresh commissioning on their lives today, like an engine that's a bit busted down, like an engine that needs a bit of a tune-up, that's kind of a bit not running, firing in all cylinders. It needs a new service, it needs new spark plugs, it needs an overhaul, a new air filter, a new a fuel filter, all these things that, God, you would do a mechanical work this morning. So the engine of call would come to fruition, that the engine of call would fire on all cylinders, I pray. Let it be Jesus. For those, Lord, that may struggle with the fact that they, how can God call me or use me? Biblical precedent says when God calls, he's not calling right in that moment, he's calling for what people to become. And I pray, God, that the precedent of Moses, of Jeremiah, of Gideon, that would be an anchor for them in the days ahead to go, no, these guys were called beyond who they are in that moment to be something great in the days ahead. We thank you. We just want to acknowledge you, Jesus. We just want to say thank you that you've called us. And may our response, more so in the days ahead, be like Mary. May it be. Let it be. Let it be according to your word. I pray. And we ask for this grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Just as if anyone would just love prayer, I'm going to be around. I'm going to have coffee machine firing up. We've got goodies over there. If people want to give some money towards Malawi children, that's over there. But it's going to release you and bless you. And so Kia tau, kia tātou katoa, te atawhai o tātou riki, a ihu kuraiti.